Vishnu Sahasranama, name 897, Sanat, continuing discussion of this name with the meaning that Vishnu, Krishna, is time. In the last session, I discussed how time is the relentless destroyer. There's more to be said about this, of course. Time destroys. Everyone sees it. Everyone knows that everyone's got to die. Although I did see once in Banu Swami Maharaj's library, a book someone had written about how to live forever. And I thought it was some kind of joke, but when I looked at it, they actually believed they could live forever. Whether you're a king or a beggar, famous, infamous, unknown, whatever. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu, Krishna says in Gita, and everyone can practically observe. Whatever has come into being has to be finished. Whoever is born has to die. Everyone sees it, but no one sees it. Why not? Bhagavatam says, Shukadev says, Pashyan api na pashyati. We see it, but we don't see it. Or we don't want to believe it. There was a hugely rich man in America, Howard Hughes, who had a phobia about germs and kept himself in a residence which was supposed to be hermetically sealed so that no germs could get inside. The idea that if no germs came, he wouldn't die, but he died. By the effect of Maya, either we don't see or we don't believe it. By the effect of Maya, we see an old person with all wrinkles on their face. We forget they were once young and somewhat good looking. Better than, no one gets more good looking in old age than they were in youth. And we also tend to forget that a young person will become old and ugly. We don't find young men falling in love with 80-year-old women. But the 80-year-old woman was once young and attractive. Once Tribhuvanath Prabhu, my godbrother, who's now passed away. Yep, happens to devotees also. He showed me a magazine spread, two pages you open. On the one page, on the left side, was a photo of Brigitte Bardot, who was iconically beautiful French film star. I believe she's still alive. When Tribhuvanath Prabhu showed me this was 20 years ago. Now, in my old age, I can't remember how many years, I tend to put everything back at 20 years, 20 years, 15 years, like that. So a photo of her in her youth. And yes, iconically, very, very beautiful. Of course, beauty is only skin deep. If you peel away the skin, it wouldn't look beautiful at all. Or just take out the eyes, wouldn't look beautiful. But anyway, undeniably beautiful in terms of what is generally considered to be beautiful. Immediately strikes you as beautiful, but right on the opposite page, so you have the two pictures juxtaposed, was a photo of a recent photo of her at that time with so many wrinkles on her face. A graphic depiction of the destructive effect of time. Apart from killing, time removes all that is beautiful, but we don't see. We know, but we don't. A man marries a young woman and he has some, I don't know what he's thinking, that she'll remain young forever. She'll get old, he'll get old. They don't think. Falling in love means you don't think. It's called Maya. Pashanapi na pashati. We see, but we don't see. Krishna spoke this, jatasya hi dhruva mrityur. Those who are born have to die. And Shukadev spoke, pashanapi na pashati. We see the effects of time, but we don't see. And Krishna, in his instructions to Uddhava, found in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, states, nityada hyanga bhutani bhavanti na bhavanti cha kalena laksha vegena sukshmatvat tanna drishyate. So probably you heard in this verse, kalena, kala, time, nityada, nitya, the sense of eternality. Here, nityada means constantly. So Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, saying that material bodies are constantly undergoing creation and destruction by the force of time. But time works in such a way that we don't see it happening. It's subtle. By the force of time, everything is changing imperceptibly. Kalena alaksha, not noticed. The unnoticed vegena, by the unnoticed influence of time, we don't see it because it is so subtle. Therefore, we have to hear to understand. Time is inextricably linked with fear and death. And there are many statements about this. I'm reading now from Srila Prabhupada's translation of Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Text 16. Text. How do we see God? How do we know God? Here's one answer. The influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature. Fear of death due to the false ego. Because one identifies with this body and becomes afraid of losing the body. And even though he doesn't have knowledge of where he's going, he has a feeling, the impious person has a feeling that whatever's going to happen, it's going to be bad. Dying in itself, sometimes people die in their sleep. A lot of people die in their sleep. Recently, I spoke to a doctor who told me that 150,000 people all over the world die daily in their sleep. It means they go to sleep and they don't wake up again, which we think may be a peaceful death, but it may be that the person has a heart attack, which he wakes up and then dies. The heart attack wakes him up, and there are various reasons how people can die in their sleep. But the fear of death is one thing, maybe the pain of death, the pain of giving up, of being forced to give up everything that one identifies with, because with the body comes identification to one's place of residence, one's friends, relatives, enemies, and so on. One's whole identity, false ego, is enwrapped in relation to the body. And then fear of the unknown, what's going to happen afterwards, with a sense, an intuition, it's going to be bad, and it is bad for people who are impious. On the other hand, we see up to the present day, people who sincerely believe in God, feel no fear. I remember my paternal grandmother visiting her. She was in a hospice waiting to die from cancer. So she said, I'm not afraid of death. I've lived a good life. I'm not afraid of death. So she was confident that she'd lived a good life, and she believed in God, not by Hindu standards, a pious person, but she wasn't a superly religious person, but she felt she'd lived a good life. And she was, as I remember, she was a very good grandmother to me, and my father used to tell me how beggars would come and she'd call them in, feed them, which you couldn't do nowadays. Anyway, I digress. Pious Hindus, up to the present day, they feel no fears or regret about death. I've met and spoken to so many people who are old, dying, or their relatives have died. We do also see many Hindus who lament at the death of a loved one. You could say it's normal or natural. But there are others also. Gokul Chandra Prabhu, one of my disciples, related to me how once, out of curiosity or whatever, he went to the Burning Ghat in Navadvip. Burning Ghat means where dead bodies are burned. So he saw one pyre there, and there was one man sitting by it, and he saw Gokul Chandra, and he said to him, "My mother," it was his mother, his mother's body was being burned. And he wasn't disturbed. He said she used to chant daily 64 rounds, 1 lakh names of the holy names of Krishna. And he made a gesture like this to mean she's gone up. He was confident of that. Therefore, persons who are confident of the protection of Krishna, or who know that they're not the body and thus act piously, they're not afraid of death. And those, even the relatives, are happy, yes. My mother died in the holy dham. Recently I visited Kadamba Kanan Swami, who got news of cancer. He had cancer in a stage 4, not possible to reverse it. Nor did he try going through any outlandish treatments or any such thing. So as long as he could, he continued traveling and preaching. And then in a very planned, cool-headed way, he went to Vrindavan to die, which he did. He left the world in Vrindavan. I met him a few weeks before he passed away. I went to visit him for the specific purpose of seeing him for the last time. And we sat together, and the first thing he said to me, "I have no fear." That's a great thing to be able to say for someone who's about to die. And he showed that right through to the end. So that is ideal. to have no fear, that is the greatest benediction for us who are in this world of fear. We see Varadaraj, Vishnu, deity, Akanchi, is giving his vara, his benediction. And on his hand is written in Tamil script, Ma Shuchaha, Krishna's words from Bhagavad Gita. Do not fear. If you come to my shelter, Krishna says, do not fear. I award fearlessness. Lord Rama says the same thing. Anyway, I digress, but the point is that fear of death is experienced by people who don't listen to the kind of talk that I'm giving now. Death is just another factor in time. Oh, something popped into my head. Woo! This is going back long, long way back. I mean, I think it's long because we humans in this Kali Yuga live short lives. Prayanal payasha sabhya. But as a child, I used to watch the BBC program for children called Doctor Who, which I believe is still running on after decades. Anyway, there was one series. They used to have like four episodes in one series, where I just remember, what was it? There was Doctor Who was hanging out with some Tibetan Buddhist or mystic or something like this. And then that mystic or whatever it was died. He was on the verge of death and he was laughing. Laughing just to demonstrate that he had no fear. And then it was said that he was going on to another body or something. He'd explain this. So it was a little mystical. Unusual in those days. That must have been 1970s that any support for the idea of reincarnation. Anyway, getting back to Shastra and away from all these narrations from experience and the experience of others, because after all, Shastra is describing what happens, and we can corroborate that by our practical experience. If Shastra was to say no one dies, then why should we accept it? We have experience how Shastra conforms with reality and describes reality. Now I'm reading from or summarizing from a section of Mahabharata. This is the Stri Parva. It's a very small book within the 18 books of the Mahabharata. That is the section where everyone is lamenting for the deaths which took place at Kurukshetra, and especially it was women, because it was mostly men who were killed. So it's called the Stri Parva. And Vidura, speaking to the lamenting Dhritarashtra, said, "When one's time comes, O king, one cannot escape. Time forcibly drags all the different kinds of creatures. Time is neutral in the sense that time doesn't think, oh, yeah, I like this one, I don't like this one. No, everyone is taken by time. All living creatures, we're all on a path toward the same destination in terms of death. Mrityu ka patpar hum sab patik hai. We're all journeyers on the path to death. Dhritarashtra was lamenting, why have my sons been killed? But Vidur said to him, why be sorry? If time meets with someone a little earlier than with another, something else comes to mind. There's a story. Let's see if I can remember it properly. This is from Mesopotamian folklore, if you want to call it that, that one servant of a rich man went to the market in, let me see if I get it right, anyway, in a provincial town in what is now called Iraq, and while in the market he saw death personified, intensely looking at him. He became afraid, panic-stricken, ran back to his master and said, Master, give me one of your horses. Death is coming for me. I saw him personally. So he got on a horse and ran on the horse away to Baghdad, where he died the same afternoon. He left in the morning and died in Baghdad. And later, the master was able to have an audience with death personified and said, well, what was going on? You were searching for my servant. You took my servant away. You saw him. He was coming. You were going for him. And death personified, no, I wasn't going for him. I was just looking at him with surprise because I had an appointment with him in Baghdad this afternoon. That's more or less the story. Probably I got some of the details wrong. You can't avoid. Kapal, there's a saying. That your kapal means forehead. Your fate is written on your forehead. When you have to die, you have to die. In the very beginning of the Mahabharata, Sanjay, the whole Mahabharata, or so much of it is Sanjay speaking to Dhritarashtra, not just Bhagavad Gita. So Sanjay opens by talking about, in the beginning, speaks about Kal to Dhritarashtra. It actually, Mahabharata begins after the battle of Kurukshetra, with Dhritarashtra lamenting. And then Sanjay, the same thing as we'll find again in the Sri Parva, right in the beginning of the Adi Parva. Dhritarashtra is grieving, and Sanjay tells Dhritarashtra that every living being passes from birth to death, and again from rebirth, from death to rebirth. It's all going under Kal. Kal, he says, it's just like fruits. By the action of time, fruits are ripened and then they rot. So time brings us up. The body becomes young, strong, developed by the influence of time. And by the influence of time, the body becomes old and sick and dies. Then we have also very near the beginning, in chapter 1 we have Sanjay speaking this to Dhritarashtra, then in chapter 3 there's a whole story which I won't narrate now, how Uttanka, who insists on giving some boon to his guru, who is that, Vasishtha? He had to get some earrings for his guru's wife. And in the course of doing that, going through so many ordeals to do that, he has a vision of two women weaving a piece of fabric. Having women weaving fabric is nothing unusual in most societies, pre-industrial societies. One woman is weaving with black strands, the other with white cotton, and a huge wheel with 360 spokes being rotated by six boys and a handsome man. So here we have black death, white life, or black can mean misfortune, white is good fortune. It all represents time, six boys and six seasons, handsome man, the personality. The 360 spokes are the 360 days. death is sure. When the time comes, vidhi, this is another word. Vidhi means law, or that was ordained. When the time comes, all beings are removed by dharma. It is the dharma, or the very nature of living beings in this world, to die. Then again we have in Mahabharata the discussion between the vulture and the jackal. Vultures and jackals are both scavengers. They live off of dead bodies. And they're discussing the possibility of restoring dead bodies to life and what kind of austerities can be done so that when you die you can come back together. But the vulture says, forget it. Once you're dead, you're dead. The body won't come back to life. Now, of course, there are instances, and there are instances recorded throughout the world, it's not very common, where people die and come back to life again. And mystics, including Jesus, who revived Lazarus from the dead, are able to do that. We have Maya Danava, who is described in the Bhagavatam, 8th canto, how Maya Danava, if he had the body of the demons who had been killed in battle, he would put them in a pool of nectar and bring them back to life. But the general rule is that once you're dead, you're gone. Gone, 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 gone away. In every language of the world, when someone dies, we say, they've gone away. It means taken away by time. And the same thing, karma, is all from the opening of Mahabharata. Right in the beginning, we have so much important understanding. It's not just a bunch of stories. So much important understanding. And the whole Mahabharata is to be understood in this philosophical context. So in the same passage, it says that the fruits of karma, you have your good results coming, your bad results coming, but there are time takes them away. In other words, you have a period of enjoyment, it finishes. You have a period of distress, it finishes. Here's more about time spoken by Krishna. This is in the Harivamsa, recorded in Harivamsa, Vishnu Parva, chapter 32, in which Krishna speaks to Ugrasena. Krishna tells Ugrasena about the death of Kamsa. Krishna's just killed Kamsa, who's the son of Ugrasena. Ugrasena is also the grandfather of Krishna. So Ugrasena, even though his son was a demon, and if Krishna hadn't killed Kamsa, Kamsa was already plotting to kill Ugrasena, his own father. But Ugrasena was feeling something. Oh, we don't find that when Narakasura, Bhomasura, was killed by Krishna, his father. Krishna's wife, Bhumi, she didn't express grief. But anyway, Ugrasena was feeling grief, and Krishna explains to Ugrasena that everyone will be taken away by the cruel hand of death. You can be very learned in the Vedas, that won't protect you from death. You can be born in a very high family, it won't protect you from death. You can give so much in charity, it won't protect you from death. You may have great bodily strength, tremendous bodily beauty. You can be very pious, devoted to the brahmanas, following religious principles, merciful to the fallen souls. You may be very famous. You can be as powerful as Indra, but the cruel hand of death will take everyone away. In the next verse, Krishna says, Kalena Nidhanangataha. And Krishna says, I'm not just speaking theoretically, because it's already happened. Many highly religious persons, many persons who had insights into the past, the present, and the future, many kings who were piously devoted to protecting their citizens, many self-controlled, saintly persons have all been devoured by the powerful time factor. So being good won't save us. Well, it will save us if we save us from getting born again, but everyone has to die. It is Kala, time, who punishes and rewards. Kala is always engaged in punishing and rewarding all living beings in this world. Therefore, it should be understood that every living being in this world is under the control of eternal time. And Krishna, after speaking in a general way, says, O King, your son has been burned up, has died due to his own faults. I am not the cause of his death. Time was the cause of his death. Now, time is Krishna, but here Krishna is speaking as if he's an ordinary person, as he often does. However, Krishna says, I, no doubt, may be considered an instrument for causing the death of your son, because Kala, time, accomplishes his work with the help of different living beings. Different living beings become instruments in doing the work of Kala, time. O King, eternal time is most powerful. It's very hard to understand how time is working. It's very difficult to get freedom from material existence. It's very difficult to understand how time is working, even for persons who are very knowledgeable, who are very peaceful at heart, spiritually advanced, see all living beings as equal. Everyone sees the action of time, but they don't see. But persons with equal vision and possessing knowledge of the Absolute Truth can gain release from time. It may be very hard to understand what is time, but we can get release from the influence of time by being Krishna conscious. Time means destruction, and it's inextricably, time is linked to decay. This is underlined in the Shastra, the Puranic scriptures, describes how everything is created fresh, looks nice, but decay begins to set in. So many times people come, say it's my birthday, or it's my son's or daughter's birthday, and in a nasty way, I don't play along with that. Oh, how nice, you're 7 years old. And I ask, how old? Seven. So you're now 7 years dead. Whatever time you have allotted in this life, 7 years have gone. So birthday means death day. Means we're one day closer to death. So what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Decay is the nature of this world. We have Satyayuga, and it goes right through everything getting worse, worse, worse. And then in Kali Yuga, things rapidly get worse. And everything becomes so bad that you have to do a whole reset. Krishna does a whole reset. Time orchestrates a whole reset where from Kali Yuga, it's reset back to Satyayuga. Here's a statement from the purport of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to his commentary on Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 44, describing Durga. He says, Durga holds the snake representing the beauty of destructive time. Kala, in the last section, I was saying how Kala means time, Kala means death, Kala means black. Kala is sometimes compared with a snake. So Durga holds the snake. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is talking about the standard iconography of Durga, or how she appears in her formal pose, holding a snake. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that this snake represents the beauty of destructive time. The beauty of destructive time. Everything looks so nice. But destruction is going on. Just like now, I'm staying in a rural setting. It looks very nice compared to the nasty cities. But all around is destruction. Nature, what we call nature, it's ongoing srishti stiti pralay, creation, maintenance, and destruction. So many living beings dying all around us. Destruction is going on. The fruits ripen on the trees by the influence of time. That means the fruit is getting toward the end of its existence. So time is the great destroyer. As Krishna says, Kalo smi loka kshaya krit pravriddha. Time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds. Time, we've heard, is Krishna, is a representative of Krishna, comes from Krishna. Here's another statement of how time can be considered an element of material existence. It's so much involved with material existence. This is again from Brahma Samhita. Agnir mahigaganam ambum maruddishascha kalas tatatma manasiti jagat trayani Yasmad bhavanti vibhavanti vishanti yangcha govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. The translation attributed to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. No. The three worlds are composed of the nine elements, namely fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul, and mind. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda from whom they originate. in whom they exist, and unto whom they enter at the time of the universal cataclysm. So that's another angle on time. Time is Krishna. Time is an element, or in the sense of being an intrinsic factor in material existence. Time is an impersonal representation of Krishna. Krishna says, time I am. Vancha kalpa taru bhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya chunakang padeya nipatya kritva chakakushatam etad aham ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad. Gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumukharo navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.